welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having a wonderful, blessed day today. It's sunny again down here in Florida. Haven't been outside much, so I'm not sure about the chemtrails, but it is what it is, and we'll bring you guys another incredible show again today. And how are you doing, Dad?
You know, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a friend of mine who I've worked and talked to for years basically get born again. And I want to share with you some of the stuff that she said today, because this is really important, because she was raised by atheist parents and she was never given an opportunity to learn about Christ. And a lot of people nowadays are having the exact same dilemma, even from people that have been raised in the church and even for people that have been through catechism in, you know, different churches, because they stopped going to church and they stopped taking their children to church. And I want to read you what she said, because this morning we prayed for her and some other people that I know, because we pray every morning, as you guys know. And Holy Spirit kind of told me to let her know that I had prayed for her. Well, we prayed pretty early, and then she wrote me a text back, and I told her that we had prayed for her. And she says, "Funny, I woke up thinking about you because I listened to a show on Doug Hagman's show last week." And I'm not going to give you any personal details. And then I told the guest from that show, Daniel, about my conversation with you, and he was very happy for me. Although he was raised by a devout Irish Catholic mother, he's also a Christian. So I was thinking about all of this as I awoke, and I thought about how much you live and breathe Christ and how adept you are at holding your consciousness within the space of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that for you, because remember, she's coming from a physics standpoint and how she became saved, how we have to have a synchronicity of our frequencies with the Holy Spirit. When God allows His Holy Spirit to come into us, it syncs our frequency together with the Most High. She goes, I'm going to repeat this. She goes, so I was thinking about all of this when I awoke and thought about how much you live and breathe Christ, which I try to do, and how adept you are holding your consciousness within the space of the Holy Spirit. Much of this time is why you're blessed. And I've had some daunting financial work, health, and basic life challenges facing me, but I see that the way through all of this is to accept that Jesus is here for me. Now listen to this. This is very important, guys, because if you fit into this category, it's important that you understand that you're not alone. It's going to take a lot of rewiring and rearranging the furniture in my mind, which is my greatest stumbling block. Unlike you, the architecture of my mind wasn't formed with Christ there for me. In fact, it was forbidden to me. It was blocked from me. And through the course of my life, I've observed people full of the Holy Spirit, and it was undeniably real to me, but it was denied to me by the will of my parents and the way my mind was formed. So I've always felt damned, and in a way I was, no matter how good or decent I was. So I've got my work cut out for me, but during this move, I've noticed several things. She's moved to another state. Several things that have worked out subtly and perfectly. Subtle hints that He really is there for me. I just have to be grateful and accept it. So thank you, Ted, and thank you, Jesus. And then I told her that Sharon and I love her. And I said to her, you are blessed by the Most High God. You are in blood covenant with Him through Christ. That means that you and the Creator of the universe are synchronized through the Holy Spirit. You now have the same resonance frequency. All things have become possible for you. Your life will never be the same. You have the peace that passes all understanding. You are the blessed in all the areas of your life, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Now, the reason I read this to you, and I'm glad I got through it without choking up, is this. Many of you who are listening to me right now, you had that same type of upbringing. I feel it in my spirit. You had parents who were either agnostic or atheists, who didn't want to take you to church or refused to take you to church or laughed when you wanted to go to church. And so it confused you. And the foundation of your mind and the principles that were taught to me as a child as far as being a Christian in the Lutheran church weren't taught to you. Now, folks, let me share something with you. I'm sorry that's happened to you, but you've got to put that behind you. Because the Bible says that it's by your faith, not your parents' faith, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just like Alexandra had to do. So many of you are in a situation where you're not quite sure. I talked to a boy this morning at the motorcycle shop in Winter Haven in Lakeland, and he had been in an accident when he was 16 years old, had gone head over a motorcycle set of handlebars at 140 miles an hour, wearing a full set of leathers on Interstate 4, was pronounced dead at the scene, was in a coma, basically unconscious for 2 weeks, and he awoke with no brain damage. And I could feel in my spirit that he was fighting for the things of the Lord and had not changed. He's like 28 years old and he's still being reckless. And finally he said to me, he says, well, whatever makes you happy. Well, you know, guys, when you tell me something like that, that doesn't work for me. So he got my whole seminar on what is happiness and how it's based on happenings and how you'll never have sustained happiness if your entire life is built around happenings in your life. And it's the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that'll do this for you. So here I am in the middle of the dealership talking to him like this. And of course, you know, I'm not real quiet about what I say. Don't really care if people think that I'm a religious nut, because I guess I really am a religious nut, because I really believe the things the Bible tells me. And I really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which I've told you guys that. I mean, I've talked about it on the show all the time. So it permeates throughout me, no matter who I'm talking to, when I see an opportunity. And then I looked at him and I could tell he was like, oh no, this guy's going to get real religious on me here. And I looked at him, I kind of laughed and I said, no, I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, but for some reason you've been fighting against this. And he looked at me, he kind of dropped his head. He goes, you know, my mother's been praying for me for a long, long time, and she goes to church every Sunday. And I said, look, I said, isn't it about time for you to stop this? I mean, I thought for myself, I thought, you know, God really likes this kid. He kept him alive at 140 miles an hour in a bike crash on Interstate 4. He's lucky a semi-truck didn't run over him after he fell off that bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing people realize. Even if you make it through the skid portion and you don't impact something, then you get run over by another vehicle. And he had a bunch of broken bones. And I thought, God likes him. So I looked at him and I said, God likes you. I said, I don't know why. He said, he liked me too. I don't know why he likes me. I said, he has favor with you. I said, it's time for you to grow up, buddy. And I said, and then all of a sudden the guy behind the counter goes, I've been talking to him about this for a while. And I said, well, what are you? Are you a Christian? He goes, yes, I'm the worship and praise leader here at a local church. And I thought, wow, bingo. See, guys, if you just are led by the Holy Spirit and you take the opportunity that you're given to witness to somebody, tell them why you don't base your life on happenings and happiness. I knew a girl in Tallahassee. Yeah, you guys, and my girls in Tallahassee stories, and they're all true. It's just because when I went up there, there were like, what, 35,000 students, like 5,000 guys, and there was a bunch of girls in Tallahassee. And it was one of the reasons I went there. I have to admit that. I mean, remember, I wasn't saved. And I remember she was basing her entire life on happenings. She was never happy unless she was getting a new car or getting new clothes or getting new furniture, keeping her credit cards maxed out. And that's how she got her dopamine trigger, because she wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. She wasn't filled with the resonance frequency of God Almighty. She wasn't filled with these things. She was always seeking something to fill her. Now, she claimed to be a Christian, but she had a head-only conversion that wasn't from the heart. She didn't have that deep-seated, my God, I need Jesus conversion. And I'm not saying that it wasn't a real conversion. I'm just saying that that's not what she had. And so she was continuing to look for outside things into her life to bring happiness to her. Guys, the peace that passes all understanding will come upon you if you keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, I got to stop, Austin. I'm going to start preaching again all day. Okay, what's your first story, buddy?
Well, this is interesting now, or I shouldn't say that. I've been told, Dad and I talked about it the other day, I use the word interesting too much on here. So I'm working on saying different things. So next story is on the show, new California bill. This is one of those things that is quite disheartening, because we see this happening in California over and over and over again. The same California Senator, Richard Pan, that sponsored the SB 277 that we saw last year, that essentially gave mandatory vaccinations to children now, unless they, you know, are homeschooled, if they have any public education, they can't go to any public schools at all without being vaccinated. Well, now he has just proposed SB 18 this year as Assembly Concurrent Resolution, ACR 80, which is originally drafted as a Bill of Rights for the Children and Youth of California that resolves to invest in all children and youth in order to achieve specified goals to create an optimal environment for their healthy development. Well, that sounds great. You read it, you're kind of like, well, that's a very, very good thing. You know, why would you not want to do that? Well, what it completely does is it essentially is medical kidnapping by CPS services, Child Protective Services, and it makes it legal. The proposed bill states that all children should have the right to parents, guardians, or caregivers that act in their best interest. It then goes on to say the right to form healthy attachments with adults responsible for their care and well-being. Now, what's interesting about this is it starts to go into detail more on how you're required to get vaccinations if your parents basically love you, and I'm paraphrasing this, if your parents love you and they care for you and they have your best interest in heart, then they vaccinate you immediately, and they never question the mainstream narrative about vaccines. They never ask about what's in them, and that's always about being the best interest for the children, is never questioning what's in these vaccines. That's basically what it paraphrases. And you go to read this now, and essentially what it starts to do is it gives the state the ability to completely come in and take your children from you, legally kidnap them from you, if they deem that the caregiver, parent, or guardian does not have the absolute best interest. And now they're putting in that provision, vaccine, as the best interest. So this guy, I don't know why he has such a bone to pick with freedom. I mean, this guy absolutely hates freedom in California, and he wants to do everything he can to eliminate it. So we'll see if they're that unbelievably tyrannical in California that they're going to pass this SB 18 like they did the 277 last year. But man, if they do, you're talking about giving the state unprecedented power over your children to a point where you literally won't even have any legal rights or rights to even take them to court with this bill if they seize them over something as simple as saying you're not giving your kids their best interest in heart because you're not vaccinating them. This is really getting quite bizarre, Dad, out in California, what they're allowing them to go out with.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys some advice. Take it for what it is, okay? And this is something that a couple of years ago, my daughter, we put her into private school in Montana for a year on a cattle ranch to basically let her just figure out what life was all about on an 1,100-acre cattle ranch with about 30 other kids, full schooling, full program, full everything, because we wanted her to get a realization of what, you know, hard work was and what walking with a Christian group of people was all about, because we do hit here at the house. But sometimes when you homeschool kids, they need more exposure from outside variables. And I wanted her to have a little bit of experience with all that before we sent her off to, you know, to the Polk State College here in town to be involved with the collegiate high school program. And what was interesting about all of this is that, you know, they sent me a form because I told them that I did not want to have any immunizations, because she's never had immunizations. Like, Austin's had one tetanus shot one time when he got unbelievably sick from a band camp, and I was assured it wouldn't get him sick, and it did. And that was the end of Austin's immunizations. And what I did, they sent me a form that said that I was denying medical care to my daughter, and I had to sign it. And I laughed at them. I laughed. And I just said, I'm not signing this. That's all I told them. I'm not signing this. And I said, I don't want her getting immunizations, and I'm not signing this. And it was just something they had been asked to do by the state. And so I sent them a little note and says, please, we allow Lexis's caregiver here in Central Florida to take care of all of her medical needs. I'm requesting that you provide no additional needs as far as vaccinations to her while she's in your school. Then I signed that. That's all I said. So I didn't. But the other form they wanted me to sign made it sound like I was being medically negligent, and I knew that I was being medically negligent, and they wanted me to sign it. Now, my mom taught me something a long, long time ago. And I say, and you say, well, what in the world your mom taught you? Well, my mom had gotten herself in trouble a couple of times when my dad and her got divorced, because she had signed certain things and certain things happened, and she didn't want those things to happen, but because she had signed it, it was one of those deals, and it happened. So she would never sign anything. I mean, she just wouldn't really. She didn't want to sign our report cards. I mean, she was that funny about her signature. As I've gotten older, I've realized that she was right about that. If you don't have to sign something, you don't have to sign it. Let me give you another example. This is a funny story. I've never told this on the air. I'm going to tell it. I'll tell you guys everything anyhow. It's like you guys here at the house with me. About 10, 15 years ago, my alarm went off in my house. Probably 15 years ago, my alarm went off at my house when I was out of town. And the county at that time fined you if your alarm went off and nobody was home. And it went off, and they sent me a bill for like $50, and I ignored it. I threw it away. I said, I'm the guy paying enough property taxes. I'm not paying you guys $50 because you sent a sheriff's officer out here and checked my place out. I'm thanking you for checking it out. I'm not paying it. And I never signed up for this law. I never agreed to it. So why am I being billed $50? Well, this progressed with two or three letters, and finally they sent me a couple certified letters. And the only thing you're ever going to get certified that you won the lottery, and that's about it, or for some amount of publisher's sweepstakes clearinghouse. Nothing good really ever comes good certified mail. And I just didn't sign the mail. Well, finally one day they sent the biggest police officer I've ever seen to my house. And the guy's like 6'6", big guy, like 350 pounds. like a mountain of a man. And he walks up to the front door, and I'm like 5'11", right? I mean, I'm not a little guy, but I'm not that. I'm not this giant. And, you know, I don't know if he was a Nephilim or not, Austin. He was big. And he looked at me and he said, he had a clipboard. He goes, here, you need to sign this. And he hands it to me. And it was the fact that he was giving me this letter. And I said, no, I'm not going to sign that. He goes, what do you mean you're not going to sign that? And he kind of looked at me. He's looking down at me. What do you mean? You know, his voice is booming like thunder in the nighttime in a distant mountain range, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, this is getting weird. And I said, I'm not going to sign it. He goes, you have to sign it. I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. I don't have to sign it. And he goes, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And he goes, I'm going to arrest you if you don't sign this. And I looked at him and I said, do you really want to go there? You're forcing me to sign something I don't want to sign. Have you ever heard the term duress? You can't force me to sign something under duress. You don't have a right to do this. Yes, I do. And I said, no, you don't. I said, why don't you call your boss up? And he goes, well, I don't have my radio with me. I said, you can come in the house. You can come in the house. I said, use one of my phones. You can call the sheriff. You can call the sheriff's office up. And so he walked into my office, and I had a big picture back then. This is before I was awake with who and what President Bush was. And I had a big picture of President Bush on the wall with me and Sharon. And this is right when he had gotten out of office. I guess it was closer to 20 years ago. And he walked over, and he stopped in my office and looked at the picture of me and President Bush. He just stood there and stared at it for a second. They didn't really know what to say. And I said, well, here, you can use this phone, punch this button, and you'll get the line you need. And so he dials out. And I still had my office in my house, so I had a bunch of different phone lines there. And so he basically picks up the phone and calls the sheriffs up, and I could hear them yelling at him over the receiver. It wasn't a speakerphone. And I was like 15 feet away. What are you doing? Get out of the man's house. You can't force him to sign anything. So no, get out. Just give him the letter. And so then he walks over to me and he hands me the letter. And I said, you can lay it on the counter. He goes, well, I need your name and your birth date. I said, no. No, I'm not giving you any information. I said, you don't have that right. I said, this is America. We still have freedom. Remember, this is all before the Patriot Act and all that nonsense. And so finally, he just huffed and walked out the front door. And I thought to myself, how many people would have signed this? How many people would have stood their ground on this? Guys, listen to me for a second. Just be courteous. Be nice to him. I told him to come in, you know, use a telephone. Now, if I had to do it over again, I would have allowed him to use the telephone in my garage, and I never would have picked up. I never would have let him come in the house. That just wouldn't have happened. Because I know too much about that now, too. Once you get them in, it's kind of hard to get them out. So it's one of those deals. And so it's just one of those things that, guys, listen to me for a second. If they want you to start signing weird stuff, just tell them, no, thank you. I don't want to sign that. I don't want to sign that unless my attorney's present. Unless I have my attorney here, I'm not signing anything. And I guarantee your attorney will tell you never to sign anything. In fact, I've got a friend of mine who's a criminal attorney. His name's Ligoria, a good criminal attorney in Lake and Bartow. And he told me one time, he goes, nothing good has ever come of anybody signing a statement and making a statement before their attorney arrives. He goes, nothing. He goes, nothing ever helps. He goes, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. That means you need to shut up, not talk until your attorney shows up. And that's so true, guys. So that's just a little bit of advice here. Don't start signing forms that's saying that you're a negligent parent because you don't want to immunize. Just say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to sign that. And if your doctor makes you sign it and says, I'm not going to have you as a patient unless you sign this, you know what you do? Next, I need another doctor. Need another doctor. By the way, 3 polio facts that the CDC wishes that you didn't know. This is a really, really good article. I want to read part of it today. It's by a lady by the name of Canal. Many people I talk to disagree that the current CDC vaccination schedule is appalling. These same people commonly acknowledge that vaccines are for HPV or the flu are ineffective and cause much more harm than good. However, many of these people, intelligent people, seem to fall into the polio crowd. Despite evidence that polio was on the decline long before the introduction of the vaccine and the sanitation and plumbing improvements are likely reason for the decline, they're still giving these kids a carcinic syringe filled with neurotoxins and environmental pesticides, and far too many people still halo the polio vaccine as one of the greatest accomplishments of the 20th century. Now, number one, the first polio vaccine was developed by Jonas Salk, and human experiments using the vaccine were conducted purposely on orphans in government church-run institutions because they were vulnerable and didn't require parental consent. In other words, they had no parents. The state did as they wished with them. The vaccine was declared safe, as they always are, but tragically, the vaccine was given to 40,000 orphans. Polio and permanent paralysis occurred in hundreds of others. Okay? Unbelievable. I'm sorry. The whole 40,000 orphans got polio and permanently paralyzed hundreds of others. At least 10 children died but it was still considered safe. I just thought I'd mention that to you. In retrospect, a good idea, this is a quote from Time magazine from 1955, in retrospect, a good idea of the blame for the vaccine snafu also went to the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, which with years of publicity had built up the danger of polio all out of proportion to its actual evidence and incidence, and had rushed into vaccinations this year with patently insufficient preparation. 40,000 orphans received polio. Hundreds of them became unbelievably ill. In 1956, the American Medical Association instructed every licensed medical doctor that they could no longer classify polio as polio, or their license to practice would be terminated. And any paralysis was now to be diagnosed as AFP, acute flaccid paralysis. I've talked about this before. That means MS, MD, Bell's palsy, cerebral palsy, Lou Gehrig's disease, Guillain-Barré, et cetera, et cetera. When all of the other lies fails, the doctors were instructed to say that the paralysis were rare and further research would be necessary. Number three, in 1945, against the warnings of the researchers who had studied the neurotoxic compound and found it to be dangerous for all forms of life, DDT was released across the globe for general use by the public as an insecticide. Coincidentally, documented evidence shows that DDT is more likely the true cause of the polio epidemic. Vaccine Truth recently republished an infographic on their site that allows a definite correlation between the use of pesticides and polio outbreaks, the largest of which occurred in 1952. Polio outbreaks occurred in July and August during the pesticide spraying times, not the sunless and damp winter spring seasons like other disease outbreaks. There were numerous documented accounts of parents finding their children paralyzed in and around apple orchards. One of the most heavily pesticide sprayed crops of all times were apples with DDT. The most famous polio victim is President Roosevelt, but few know the details surrounding his paralysis. Roosevelt became paralyzed literally overnight while on his apple farm one summer, which contained many crops, including his many apple orchards. He also swam the entire day prior to that in a bay that was heavily polluted by industrial agricultural runoff. Polio is not contagious. Polio has zero ability to spread from infected persons to infected first to another person. Polio infected clusters of people in the exact same areas suddenly and swiftly. Dr. Ralph Scobie and Dr. Morton Biskind testified in front of the U.S. Congress in 1951 that the paralysis around the country known as polio was being caused by industrial poisons, and that a virus theory was purposely fabricated by the chemical industry and the government to deflect litigation from both parties. Guys, you're only going to hear this stuff on this show. You're only going to hear this stuff on the show because I'm not going to play any games with you guys, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I answer to a higher authority. This whole thing, I have a good friend of mine right now. He lives in Bartow, about 25 miles, 30 miles from here, and he basically has polio. He's had it his whole life. He's like 60 years old, and he didn't have polio until he was given the vaccine. And I give you case after case after case in the literature with this, and he won't vaccinate his children. He won't take any more vaccines. Because he's a mountain of a man. He's like 6'4", 6'5". One leg's tiny. The other leg's okay. He has to wear braces. I mean, he gets around great. Now he needs a knee replacement. Guys, these vaccines, most of them, as far as all of them that I know, with all these adjuvants they put in them, it's like they develop these things down in hell somewhere, and they can't deal with them in hell. They don't want them down there anymore. It's kind of like aspartame. And they poke a hole in hell, and they shove them up here and give them to us. I mean, they're that bad. Good sanitation, eating clean, all of these things are so important. There are hundreds of people around the country, children primarily, that have been diagnosed with this acute flaccid paralysis, which normally would have been called polio, but they don't allow them to call it that anymore. And a lot of it's because of the vaccines that were given. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, again, this is a decision you got to make with your family and your doctors, but that's why I always like giving you updated information when I see new articles like this, because I want to reinforce what we've been telling you. But again, talking to people about getting off of vaccines is like talking to somebody who's addicted to diet sodas about getting off of diet sodas. It's very, very difficult to do because they don't want to do it. They realize that their doctors or their family members or their mother-in-law or their father-in-law or their spouse or other family members are diametrically opposed to not being vaccinated. They all want to be have vaccinations. Guys, it's simply not something that I've chosen to do with any of my children, and it's not because I'm not educated. It's because I'm extremely well-educated, and almost all the areas in the country in which people don't vaccinate are areas where people are very well-educated with college degrees. Too many questions surround all of this mess, and when Reagan gave them the ability to put whatever they wanted to in those vaccines back in the 80s and not have any medical liability exposure. Guys, it opened up a Pandora's box right from the pit of hell that now we're having to deal with. And it's one of the primary factors that's causing all of these autistic kids. And the CDC's top guy, Thompson, already told us that, one of the top guys there, that they just shredded the evidence showing that it linked to the MMR vaccine. This is the research. This is the truth. It's combined also with, I also personally believe that glyphosate's involved with the problems that are being done with these kids that have been diagnosed with autism and all the mercury and all these other things too. Something's going on. And again, the globalists know that, but it's part of the eugenics protocol to reduce the population of the planet. And guys, let's not be part of their test tube, and let's not crawl into their petri dish with them, and let's not put our children into their petri dish. It's always better just to keep it clean, take your supplements, eat a clean diet, exercise on a regular basis, and just keep praying. That's all I can say. What's your next story, Oz?
And please don't be getting vaccines when you're pregnant. Remember the 21st Century Cures Act that Obama just signed into law 2 weeks ago? It specifically says that the manufacturers of vaccines cannot be held liable to deaths or birth defects of infants or babies when they are given vaccines to the mothers when the babies are still in the womb. They did the exact same thing that Reagan signed in 1986, protecting the vaccine manufacturers. Now they're protecting the vaccine manufacturers against any type of recourse if a baby dies or has birth defects from vaccines given to the mother while she's carrying the baby. That, to me, is beyond ludicrous. They want to start injecting all these mothers. Now, they've already said it blatantly. There's already like four or five different vaccines that women need to get. It's mandatory. You need to get it. You need to get it. You need to get it. It's for your own protection. You understand that, guys. It's for your protection. You need get it right now so it protects you and your children. If my question is this. If it's to protect my family, it's to protect my children, it's to protect my wife, it's so fantastic, it's phenomenal, it's just this amazing thing they've come out with, why did they need to put a clause in there that they're protected from any type of lawsuits or recourse if my child is dead or harmed from these vaccines while he's in the womb? Doesn't that seem a bit off to anybody else but me? Doesn't that seem a little bit strange that they have to add that clause in there, even though it's for your protection? No, guys, do your own research. Like Dad just said, look up the studies. Look up, just Google HPV vaccine deaths. Just quick, that'll wake you up real quick. Real quick, that'll wake you up when you start seeing literally tens of thousands of girls that have either died or been paralyzed or had unbelievably severe side effects from an HPV vaccine to I might add, the HPV vaccine that they've already stated now that cervical cancer is only prevalent in like 4% of the girls that ever get HPV, but yet you still need to take this vaccine and really, really risk the chance of having all these significant side effects, possibly never even being able to have children again, which is what it does in a lot of women, and on top of that, possibly killing you. Guys, that's a really, really dangerous dice to roll. That's not something I will ever gamble with. And I highly suggest if you have family and they're thinking about this or they have children of this age, you make sure you get them the research and you get them the articles so you can at least wake them up. If they choose to do so, if they choose to engage in that risky behavior with some of the most toxic, deadly vaccines ever produced in history, if they decide that, that is on them. But at least you have given them the knowledge, the information, the updates, and the paperwork so they can look at it and say, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe I do need to research this. Maybe I should wait. And that right there could have a very significant effect on the health of their family and the well-being of their children in the future just by simply doing something that easy. Also, too, in other health news, this is pretty common. We know this now. We've talked about it for years. According to Public Health Services in the United Kingdom, they said children now are starting their day with excessive amounts of sugar and calories thanks to sugary cereals and artificial fruit juices. I've said this for years. Public Health England says that the average English child eats almost 15 grams of sugar every morning, average, which is the same as giving them over 3 cubes of sugar every morning for breakfast. Not only does this contribute to obesity, it massively increases weight problems and diabetes. Now, the interesting thing about this is the NHS, the single-payer healthcare system in the United Kingdom, is they're starting to flip out now because they can't afford the influx of all the issues they're seeing from very simple I won't say simple diseases, but simple fixes to prevent ever getting these diseases, because the numbers of diabetes, of pancreatic cancer, of obesity are all going through the roof, and they flat out saying here the mere statistics of the child obesity rates in the United States, mirror them. We see the exact same thing in the United States. The NHS even came out and said that, this is kind of sad to me, the Telegraph is where they cited this from the study, states that 91% of mothers of obese or overweight children do not see their child's weight as a problem. Fathers were a little bit lower, stating 80% of fathers of overweight or obese children did not see their weight as a problem. Guys, this is something everybody has to come to grips with, because, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I go places now, I go out, and you literally are starting to see not just people being slightly overweight. I mean, everybody, you know, can lean up a little bit. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I could always lean up a little more. Everybody can always drop 5, 10, 15 pounds. I got that. That's not significant. But I'm talking the amount of people that are significantly obese, 150, 250, 300 pounds overweight. That's an issue, guys, and it puts not only a significant stress on the healthcare system, it's not fair to everybody else, because when you start doing the research, you find that a lot of these people that are obese file for disability. I didn't realize that until a couple of years ago when I started doing research on it. Significant a portion of people that are obese file for disability or some type of government assistance, which means our taxpayer dollars are subsidizing their incredibly bad food habits. We already discussed before a couple of weeks ago that the number one purchase item with food subsidies, or EBT cards, a lot of people call them in the United States, are sodas. The number one purchase item were sodas. That's an issue, guys. That's a serious issue to the health of this country. And there's so many easy options in the morning, like oatmeal, organic oatmeal with a couple whole eggs. That is one of the best breakfasts you want to eat if you want to have it stay with you for a couple hours. Also, too, the Fit Food protein that we have, the New Zealand whey protein, never been exposed to any type of glyphosate or radiation, has no types of antibiotics or hormones, probably if not the most, probably the purest whey protein on the market. And I have a lot of parents, they tell me for their kids for breakfast or in the morning when they're wanting to get a quick jump on stuff, they'll use some organic cow's milk or some raw goat's milk, and they'll throw two or three scoops of the Fit Food protein in it. So now all of a sudden you have, you know, a good 300 or 400 calorie protein shake that tastes honestly like a milkshake, especially when you use the chocolate and whole milk. And if your child's, you know, decent weight, they're not overweight, it's not an issue giving them whole milk. But that's a really good staple breakfast they can eat. Also, too, as I mentioned earlier, whole eggs in the morning are, in my opinion, I eat them all the time. That's one of the best breakfasts you can have. But there's so many options like that on the market. That's why the Fit Food has been such a popular product over the years, because children and adults can use it for breakfast, and you're not sitting there stuffing your face with literally 10, 15, 20 grams of sugar first thing in the morning, having a massive insulin spike. A, you're going to store that as body fat later, and B, you're putting all that tremendous pressure on the pancreas in the future, which is not going to do anything but help increase the fact that you're possibly going to be at least pre-diabetic in the future if you continue that diet all the way through your life. I had a friend that lived across the street from me when I was growing up, and we used to hang out all the time, ride bicycles all the time. And I remember I'd come over to his house after school, and the first thing he'd do, and he was always a little chunky, but he started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and his parents never, ever restricted his diet. They would buy Twinkies, Ding Dongs, he loved the Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. And he used to come home, he used to grab a big old jug of homogenized cow's milk, just good old homogenized cow's milk, pour a huge glass of it, and break out about four or five of the Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies right after school and just pound them. I mean, they'd literally be down in probably 4 or 5 minutes. That was it. And then he'd go eat something else a couple hours later. And sure enough, he started getting really fat. And then probably, I think, around 16 or 17, he went full-blown diabetic. Now he has an insulin pump that he has to deal with, and he's had to bring his weight down significantly to maintain any type of health. But he has an insulin pump connected to him for the rest of his life now that he has to use. And the problem is, guys, it wasn't really his fault. I'm not saying he couldn't have tried to change his diet, but when you're 6, 7 years old, you're not jumping in the car. You're not heading to the supermarket. You're not filling the cart up full of little Debbie's Debbie's oatmeal cream pies and Twinkies and cakes and cupcakes and all the other nasty stuff they have there. It's full of glyphosate as well from all the nasty wheat that gets sprayed with glyphosate. You're not, they're not doing that. You guys are buying that food. You're bringing it home, and you're letting your kids gnaw on it for days on end. You're letting them eat it for breakfast. You're letting them take it to school. You're letting them eat it when they get home from school. You're letting them eat it when they get, you know, when they go to bed. You're letting them take it up to their room. There's a reason why when somebody's 6 or 7 years old and they're a kid and they weigh 250 pounds, there's something going on with their diet, guys, that's not normal. And the thing is, this really bothered me when I saw this study from the Telegraph stating that 91% of mothers of obese or overweight children do not see their child's weight as a problem. The only thing that I can see about that is because the parents are usually obese as well, Dad. That usually is a pretty good indicator when you see children that are having that significant weight problems and the parents don't care.
Well, we've gone to meddling on the show now, so you guys just stay with us for a minute. Let's meddle our way out of this mess. Austin's right.
I'm sorry. I had to bring it up when I saw
Austin's
that, man.
Right. No, every time I ever did a seminar and I started talking about kids' nutrition, oh, my gosh. It's just that's why we wrote that book, or Sharon did, Train Up Your Children in the Way They Should Eat, because we were so convicted by the Holy Spirit. They put out literature on this because kids simply don't know how to eat. And you're right. Parents are so busy, you know, running two jobs and multiple income streams and not being home with their kids that they just pretty much let the kids shop for themselves. And I know exactly who you're talking about with this kid who became diabetic. And there was another kid. I'm not going to mention his name because because a lot of people locally listen to the show. And he was getting fat and more fat and more fat and more fat. And we were out one day on the boat, and you know, I used to have a boat, and I learned about boats. It's 2 days, the happiest days of your life, you have a boat. The day you buy it, you get rid of it. And I remember I was out there talking to him one day because he was trying to ski, and he was so fat he couldn't get up on a ski boom. Now, a ski boom is a bar on the side of the boat. It's unbelievable to get up on. It's so easy to get up on a ski boom. He was too fat. Couldn't do it. I'm going to call him David. That's not his name. Okay, but I'll make it up. I said, David, when I was a kid, no one sat me down and talked to me about nutrition. And when I was about fifth or sixth grade, I started gaining weight. And I said, and I got about 20, 25 pounds overweight. And I said, and it really bothered me because I couldn't perform athletically like I needed to. And I said, but then I finally got a hold of it and started working out, and I quit that, and I stay in shape now. And I said, if you don't get a hold of this, you're going to get really, really big. And I said, you got to stop eating junk. And this is the guy who lived over by Tony down the street, also. You know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
And so I talked to him. I was really nice to him. Oh my God, I got the phone calls. Their parents went berserkoid that I asked this toddler. I actually talked to this kid about this. Austin remembers this. Parents went apoplectic. I thought they were going to have a heart attack because I mentioned to the kid that he needed to lose a little bit of weight and start cleaning up his diet a little bit. So that's when I learned very quickly, if the parents aren't around, you don't talk to the kid about the weight because they'll go back and tell the parents and the parents get mad. I've got another friend of mine. He's a dear friend. I won't mention his name. He's a pastor. And he had a little girl when she was born, and she just was hammering goat's milk. I mean, hammering goat's milk. She started getting bigger and bigger. And I warned him. He thought she was cute because she was a goat's milk baby. She was chunky. And I said, man, she's not chunky anymore. She's getting obese. And he said, well, she starts screaming and yelling if we don't feed her all the time. And I'm like, well, dude, you're setting her up to get really big. So she's about 13, 14 years old now. She's probably 300, 350. And she's huge. I mean, huge. I mean, unbelievably huge. Now, what they've done, the mother's also obese. And what they've done is they've allowed the mother's eating patterns to come into that child's life. The other daughter's also overweight, but not as much. And it's basically ruined that child. I mean, when you're 13 years old and you weigh over 300 pounds, how do you come back from that? How do you come back from that? I mean, you know, for the rest of your life, your cells, fat cells are going to be screaming for glucose even if you lose weight. And you're going to be just in a situation where you're constantly going to be on these roller coaster diets because the mother, who was obese, allowed the child to eat whatever the child was eating because the mother was eating the same thing she was feeding to the kid. Now, ladies, please, a lot of you probably have already hung up the telephone or hung up the dog on radio or hung up whatever you're listening to the show on right now. This doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. If you eat clean, they're going to eat clean, period. That's just how it works. And if you don't learn, teach them, if they train up a child in the way they should go when they're old and not depart from it, that works both ways. Let me give you two interpretations on that scripture. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Okay? If you take it and train them the way that they should go, and you help to train them, they'll not depart from what you teach them. But also, you can look at it a different way. Train up a child in the way that they shall go. In other words, let them do what they want to do, and they'll not depart from it. And you see that all the time with the diet sodas, with the junk food, with the Twinkies, with the ding-dongs, with the cupcakes, all of that stuff. This food is poison is what it is. It's all just poisonous. It's got the glyphosate in it. It's got chemicals in it. It's got all kinds of trans fats in it. This is bad stuff. And when you give it to kids, it really affects their health in the long term, including, I believe, increases the risks of juvenile diabetes and most definitely adult onset diabetes. And now children, some children are actually coming down with adult onset diabetes as still as teenagers. They're coming down with type 2 diabetes, which used to be extremely rare because their body can't deal with all of the calories and all the junk they're putting in. Now, the other thing, too, is this. When you have young children, make sure you don't feed them large amounts of meat. I just had somebody contacted me today and asked me a question on my home email and said, I've got a child who's like 6 years old who's going into like pubescence, a little girl. You know, what do I do? And I said, the first thing you do is you got to take her off meat products. You know, put her on our Fit Food Whey protein, put her organic dairy food as far as getting protein is, put her on fruits and vegetables. Austin never really ate meat until he was like 10, 12 years old. We just didn't do it because they don't have the digestive enzymes, number one. And number two, it really, really is hard to find meat unless you live in an area that has organic stores that don't have hormones in them. Because a few years ago, 2020 did a show down with Geraldo Rivera and Barbara Walters, and they actually went down to Puerto Rico, and they found little boys and girls that were 2 and 3 years of age, and some of these little boys and girls had grown the breasts of full-grown women because of the diethylstilbestrol that was being put into the food supply, primarily into the chickens. Because the female hormones were so prevalent in the food, it was causing these little boys to grow breasts and the little girls to basically start growing pubic hair. I'm talking 2 and 3 year old little girls, and to start going into, start ovulating. I mean, I'm talking infants now were doing this. And Geraldo Rivera did this big thing on it. They traced it back to the smoking gun of the diethylstilbestrol that was in the meat. Well, guys, this is the same thing that I've talked about so many times when I talk about how when a woman is pregnant and she has a little boy in her, her ovaries and her adrenal glands produce testosterone, which allows that Y chromosome in that little boy to produce the secondary sex characteristics. The ovaries turn into testicles, the clitoris turns into a penis, and those children become little boys. The right brain dominant hemisphere of the woman changes into left brain dominant hemisphere of a man. So they start walking like a man and talking like a man and acting like a man. But for the woman takes external sources of estrogen in her body, because estrogen and testosterone are antagonistic, they cancel each other out. And the estrogen becomes dominant because the female is dominant because she's producing the estrogen. And what ends up happening is that boy is feminized. He has a very small penis. His testicles may not properly descend. He may stay right brain for the rest of his life. And so then you end up with a girly man who had no choice in the matter because he basically was chemically castrated while he was in his mama's belly, or we would say in physics, or not physics, in biology, in utero. So he was chemically castrated in utero and didn't have a choice in the matter. That's why I told you the other day when I was talking about gays. I feel sorry for them. I really do. Because a lot of them, this is what happened to them. It really is. So I'm a lot more tolerant with these than a lot of other people are, because I realize that from a biochemical standpoint, what may have happened to them. That's why I say, if they're going to do with that, if they're going to be that way, I don't want to be in their loop. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. But I'm not going to sit there and judge them, because they could have been one of those guys who got castrated in utero. And I just feel bad for them. I really, really do. I really, really do, guys. And another thing that happens too, and I'm just going to, since we've gone this far in the middle, I'm going to finish it. Another thing that happens is when women, now ladies, please don't get mad at me for this, because I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you don't fall in this category anyhow. If a woman has a husband who's extremely docile and the woman is extremely aggressive and she's the alpha female and she's bossing the husband around all the time and he will not take the authority of the household or be the spiritual leader of the house, what happens sometimes is the children, especially the boys, start mimicking the behavior of the female. And in many cases, those children, due to environmental input of this out-of-order household, become extremely timid. The boys do. And in many cases, they become gay. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the numbers on this. Another study was done. Again, Barbara Walters did another show. Of course, now remember, I don't like Barbara Walters at all. She's a liberal's liberal. I don't care for her at all. But this is one of the shows that she did. She went in and she did the other one was Katie Couric and with Geraldo Rivera, I believe. But Barbara Walters went in and she started interviewing people who had adopted children, gay couples that had adopted children. And, it means you have two women adopting a child, two men adopting a child, and she started interviewing them to see how the kids turned out. And in every single case where two lesbians adopted a child and they interviewed them, the boy ended up turning gay. Every case that they interviewed, every single case. And in every case, pretty much that the two homosexuals adopted a boy, the boy ended up being straight. Now, that's some strange stuff, but that's how the mind kind of works, because that boy got all the attention he wanted from a daddy. He had two daddies there for him, and he ended up becoming a heterosexual and not a homosexual. Now, I thought that was strange, but all the women who had these dominant personalities, who had these little boys, they all ended up becoming gay. I know that one of my favorite actresses is Jodie Foster. She's a phenomenal actress. I don't agree with her personality as far as her lifestyle, but she ended up being raised by a lesbian mother. And Jodie Foster, of course, as all we all know now, is a lesbian. And so it's just one of those deals. She came out of the closet a few years ago. So, I mean, so this is something that's prevalent in our society, and we have to address it. To pretend like hormones don't play an impact on how a person's sexuality is expressed, you're dreaming. You're living in the 1600s. I mean, we can't be that way. That's why we have to understand that, you know, these people who have been hormonally castrated had nothing to do with this when they were an infant being formed. They had nothing to do with this. So we have to be more tolerant of them, and we have to, basically, as the Bible says, we have to love one another. Now, we don't have to love the sin and what their lifestyle they're involved in. We don't have to. We don't have to see it. We don't be involved in all that stuff. But we need to witness to them and just let them know that, you know, they don't have to do it this way. They can basically turn back to God, because God was very clear in the Old Testament about how he doesn't like that type of behavior. So it creates a very unique challenge for us as Christians to walk in love when people have been intentionally harmed by the globalists and intentionally had this done to them. Because remember, they didn't want the American population being the virile men that we were in World War II. So they introduced the BPA into the food supply, the hormones into the food supply back into the 40s and the 50s, and it was intentionally done to drop fertility rates in the United States, because they wanted to drop testosterone and drop sperm count. In some areas now, sperm count is down by up to as much as 90%. That's why so many people have problems now having children. Now, and the rest of the kids now are coming down with autism, because they're basically filling these kids up with all of this junk. All of this is designed to bring in a reduction of the population and to destroy the West. And I called it yesterday, destroy the white people. Because if we do all of this and they bring all these other people from other countries in with their massive population growth, what's going to happen is there won't be any white people left to breed. Because if all the kids that we have are going to be autistic by 2025, half will be autistic by 2035, all boys will be autistic, and by 2037, all girls will be autistic. The only people that are left who are going to be breeding are the people who don't believe in immunizations, etc. This is all part of the Joshua Society's globalist plan to reduce the population of the planet. And guys, they don't care about you. They don't care about me, because these guys are all satanically minded, and they're doing the work of their father to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have about 100 million people extra being born in the world every single year. But it's not in the United States. It's in third world countries. And the third world countries can't sustain this type of growth. So what do? They bring them into our country to breed here, and they make us basically infertile and sterile. That's what's going on with so many of the people around us who are trying to have kids who can't have kids. It's because the food they're eating and the immunizations they've taken and the Gardasil shots they've had are literally poisoning them or stopping them from ovulating and preventing them from having children. Now, guys, that's just what's happening globally. And so we have to understand that we don't need to be part of that nonsense. And by the grace of God, and I believe this now, I'm going to say something very sincerely to you guys. The Bible says that nothing happens by chance. There's a time and there's a place. It says this in the book in Ecclesiastes, which I've read that book hundreds of times. If you want to get a real chilled out attitude about life and not pushing yourself and realize that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, read the book of Ecclesiastes a few times. Now, if you're in the middle of goal setting and trying to do something with your life, you might not want to read that a lot. You can read it and see what it says, but it'll just make you realize that everything is based upon your relationship with God and what God's going to do for you, and everything else is meaningless. And the only thing that matters is to serve God and obey his commandments, because that's the sole duty of man. And that's what we have to understand, is if we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, and God in the New Testament has brought a covenant together with Christ to put us in place with him in the throne room, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we have the ability at this point, through the covenant we have with God through Christ, to not have to live that way. We can have goals and dreams and aspirations, but also we need to realize that we're only going to be here for a little while. I mean, I'm 61 years old. You know, maybe I could do this show maybe another 20, maybe another 30 years and still be mentally acute. You know, John Rappaport's 80 years old and he's not saved, and he does the show. He does a pretty good job. I've seen him. He's been on as a guest a few times. But the point is, there will be a certain point in time when I'm going to go to bed one night and I'm not going to wake up. And you say, well, that's being negative. No, that's just being realistic. It's how it is. It's because we're not promised the future as far as we're not going to live 1,000 years anymore. I mean, Adam and Eve blew that. You know, the guys in the book of, and then Genesis blew that. I mean, we could have had that. We had that, but we guess we got kind of detuned from all of that. So guys, listen to me for a second. Realize that your health is your responsibility, but your children's health is also your responsibility. It's your responsibility. I told Alexis just yesterday. I told her. She was in there running, doing some cardio, doing some deep knee bends and stuff, and working out in the gym with us. And I looked at her, and I laughed, and I said, you're 16 years old. You will not be fat on my watch. I said, now, when you're 18 years old, when you move out and you go to college, that's your choice. If you want to get fat, it's entirely up to you. I'm not doing this. We're not doing this while until you're 18 years old, and we're not going to allow you to do that. We will not supply you with the food to do that, and we'll make sure we monitor your intake because we will not allow you to continue to gain 1 pound a month. Now she's down about 3 pounds now the last 3 weeks, which is a really good weight loss, and 1 to 2 pounds a week is good. So, guys, thank you for just letting me pontificate on that for a minute. By the way, and the phone chargers, this is what you do not want to do. Radical wall-mounted systems now can wirelessly beam power to gadgets in your living room. It would be capable of charging more than one device at a time. The device would be no bigger than a flat-screen TV and work using all microwave energy throughout the entire house. Current wireless charges require a device to be directly to the vicinity of the charging station, but this one would work at larger distances. So they're going to put a giant Wi-Fi microwave generator in your homes now, and basically out to charge all of your devices at once, including irradiating you nonstop 24 hours a day. The answer to this question is no, no thank you. I don't want it. Take it somewhere else. I'm not signing for it. It's a basket of snakes. This is bad. Not going to go there. What do you think, Austin?
Just plug it in. It's worked well for a very long time. Just plug your phone in. Everybody's getting lazier and lazier with these phones as they become faster and faster and more advanced. It's kind of funny to me. I mean, really? Like, does that even seem like a good idea to anybody? Let's put a giant microwave energy tower basically in your house to beam energy throughout the whole house through your whole body. No, that's not a good idea to me. Also, one last story in economics today. This is kind of funny. Donald Trump's latest tweet rebuked Toyota. He said, Toyota Motors said they will build a new plant in Baja, Mexico to build Corolla cars for the U.S. No way. Build plants in the U.S. or pay a big border tax. The company shares on the NASDAQ were lower in the afternoon today following the message from Donald Trump. So I have to give the man credit. He's staying very consistent about bringing jobs and plants and all types of machining facilities back in the United States. He said that from the beginning of his campaign, and he has stayed very, very true to that. I hope he stays true to a lot of the other stuff, with our gun rights, with deregulating suppressors, with really calling on vaccine manufacturers to be accountable for what they've done. And also, too, he said numerous times that he wants the shot schedule to be even changed and be able to allow you to opt out of it. And remember, he said that last year, Dad, that the whole aspect of the shot schedule does not work. This whole you get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 vaccines at one time is not healthy, and we're seeing autism rates go through the roof, and it's going exactly in line with the amount of vaccines that children are getting, so there has to be a correlation. He said that last year. So he's staying pretty consistent, especially with the jobs. We'll see if he stays consistent with a lot of the other stuff. Hopefully we can get some leeway with the Federal Reserve this year, but a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are changing this year, so it's going to be interesting to see everything that changes, Dad, but I think it's funny that he called out Toyota today about that.
Well, you know, it's also his tweeting. It gets so much. The media hates it. The truth is this. No matter if you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump, he's an alpha male, period. He's an alpha male, okay? He's going to try to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to do the best he can, I hope. We're getting rid of the Gay Kenyan. He's gone. We got rid of George W. He was not an alpha male. Bill Clinton was definitely not an alpha male. Look at Hillary, how she's completely ran his life and just beat him up and everything else. That was just unbelievable with him. George H. was an alpha male with Barbara Bush. He was an alpha, and that's why he brought in so much junk and so much stuff that he did. And that's why he ran the White House with Reagan for so long. Reagan started off as an alpha male, then he got shot a month into office and ended up basically being on meds the whole time. Kennedy was an alpha male. Carter was, under no stretch of the imagination, an alpha male. Gerald Ford was an alpha male, but he wasn't given a true chance to do anything. Richard Nixon was an alpha male. Lyndon Johnson was an alpha male, but he was an unbelievably corrupt alpha male who was involved in the basically the assassination of Kennedy. And of course, Kennedy was an alpha male, and Eisenhower was an alpha male, and Truman was an alpha male. They were all the way back to the back. Now, with Roosevelt, I don't know what Roosevelt was with all the terms he had in office and all the good deals he brought and all the socialist garbage that he put into the United States and how his wife ran the White House. I don't know what he was because that was before my time, but that was a very strange situation how he set the Japanese up, set them up to attack Pearl Harbor. You guys need to do some research on that. That was a whole, it wasn't a false flag because the Japanese did it, but it was something that we orchestrated through our State Department, which, because we wanted to get in World War II, and the people of the United States had wanted nothing to do with World War II in Europe because they just finished fighting World War I, 20 years earlier, and they didn't want to be involved in another mess overseas. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for getting your mobile vitamins from us and the other things that you do. And I'm going to tell you this every day, because I'm going to say thank you. I'm not going to be like a lot of the other show hosts who ask you to support them and ask you to help them, and they never say thank you. Just, buy my stuff. We got to fund this. So I'm not doing that. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for allowing us to bring to you the highest quality vitamin supplements in the world and for you purchasing them and supporting this show. I want to thank you for the listeners all over the world. We got listeners in New Zealand and Australia. I mean, all over the place. Russia, China, England. We get emails from everywhere. I want you guys to know we appreciate every one of you, and we love all of you the same. I want to thank you for the support and for the prayers. You guys mean so much to us, and I just mean that from the bottom of my heart. So thank you again. So God bless you guys, and just, Austin, go ahead and close the show, buddy.
Yep, and I got an email from a customer yesterday about that, asking about the multiple, and that's one of the reasons, guys, why we bring that up, because, I mean, it's $25. It's a very affordable price point product, and we throw everything in it. We literally throw as many different compounds as we can in as far as a vitamin mineral base at the highest quality that we can, at the highest quantity that we can fit. And it's a very, very good base. If you're only going to buy one product, that's the one I always recommend that you can go with at a very affordable price. Like I said, there's a couple other ones you can add in if you want to start to expand, but that's a really, really, really good starter piece. So guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.